Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Wherever and whenever you're listening, it's probably beer o'clock, and we've got a lot of good stuff coming up for you right here on the podcast starting right now.
Welcome back into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thank you guys so much for listening. We are going back to the well for a recurring episode we have not done in quite some time. We really haven't needed to do it in quite some time. And
I think today is one of those to do it.
It is a little breaking news today, and we will get to it here momentarily. There is another brewery closing.
And
it
dun,
is
dun,
a,
dun.
And it is a big name. Dun, dun, dun. So we'll be doing that. We're going to just do a quick, it's kind of like a quick hit, but we're going to include the In the Brews in it. I have the beer of the week in front of me, so we'll get to that pretty quickly. You can find us all over the place. We are on Instagram. Instagram.com/beersonus. That's where you can follow us there. Social media, I'm at MikeLynch27 on Twitter. Patrick's at PDiddy085. Separate account on Insta. Our podcast can be found Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Radio.com, Stitcher, Omni, 1080thefan.com. And yeah. So
that's
subscribe, rate, review wherever you find us, and it helps us out. And if you haven't listened to any episodes yet, just download them anyway, because downloads help too.
Hey, you guys have been really great to us. I was a couple weeks ago, I didn't mention this, but there was a guy, gosh, and I feel so bad. I'm not sure who he was. His name was Zane something, and he was at Breakside Slabtown. He's a big like TV guy with beer and drinking, and I don't have TV because I'm broke, so I don't know anything about this dude. But I met a guy who's a brewer at Heavy Metal Brewing up in Vancouver, and he was a very nice gentleman, and he was very excited to meet this, you know, celebrity, and he ordered a beer from me, and I said, you know, what can I get you? And he said, I'll have a What Rough Beast, or he said, I'll have Gold Medal. And I was like, What Rough Beast coming up. I set the beer down in front of me. He goes, wow, I just got served a hazy beer from a guy who doesn't like hazy beers. And I was like, excuse me? Do you know me? And he was like, The Voice. And I was like, thanks for this. I'm sorry I don't remember your name. It was a couple weeks ago, and I have just been unbelievably busy. But a shout out to Heavy Metal Brewing. Thank you for listening. We might have to go up there sometime and drink some beers.
Look, there's a lot of places we have to go.
Yeah.
we both have been quite busy recently. Football season for me is a bit hellish. Mm-hmm. And for you, the whole job transition has been quite a thing from what I can tell.
Yeah, but stay tuned. I just got finished today working on a project that will launch November 15th. We've done this in the past this year. We are trying to go a little bit bigger. And Mike, this kind of thing is right up your alley.
You've already teased me on it. And I know it's before Thanksgiving and there's a couple of weekends I'm going to be away, but I'm going to try my damnedest to get to this event in some way, shape, or form.
So I'll give you guys more info on that when we get closer.
Yes, when it is more releasable than it is today. Weekend beer, we'll start quickly. I took a picture, and I probably should have posted this on Instagram, but I wasn't thinking in social media mind, and I sent it to Patrick. It was a picture. I went to Albertsons. My wife's been out of town basically every weekend for the last like 3 weeks, and it's continuing this weekend. So I'm doing all the shopping, the food shopping. I'm getting her food and stuff when she gets back. And I walk around the corner to the beer aisle because I was basically out of beer, and I was like, oh, you know, what am I going to get? You know, I've had all this choice for me has been made many times. I know what's here. I kind of know what I'm leaning towards. Like, I know the limited options. I walk around the corner, and everything's different in the beer section at Albertsons, and I'm going, okay, maybe this is still bad, right? Like, it was just, I saw cans, which I don't normally see as many cans there.
Okay.
You see the boxes of the bottles and the six packs, and mm-hmm. It was just like three straight coolers of regular cans. And I was like, well, I mean, I guess I could just be like Coors Light. And I got closer and I was like, oh, I see Crux. I see Migration. I see Bellbreaker. I'm like, these are not beers that have ever been here before.
Yay!
And then I walked down and I saw the options that I was used to. And I was like, so they still, okay, it's like if I want like a Deschutes big box, like I can still get that. And I was like, I have options. I can buy things at my local grocery store. And I wound up buying a Straight Outta Portland six pack and, or a sixer of cans.
Yep.
And I got a Bale Breaker IPA, which I hadn't had before, which was quite delicious as well. Top Cutter, I believe
Cutter,
it's called.
That's an OG from Bale Breaker. That's awesome.
So I was very happy. So either regionally or nationally or locally at my own Albertsons, you have changed your choices on your beer options. Bravo. I very much appreciate it.
We salute you.
And then the other thing was I went to Deschutes for the first time in a while this week. My wife was working late. And as I said, she's traveling. So I was like, let's do something together because you haven't been around. And I was like, we haven't been to Deschutes in a while. Let's go back. And we went back. And lo and behold, my first ever connection in beer, the person who was the first server who remembered us and was nice to us. And, you know, because we were regulars at Deschutes for a long time because we lived downtown. Zach is his name. He was still there. And I thought he had left because we had gone a couple of times. And he wasn't there. And the front desk person didn't know who he was. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe he left, right? It had been a couple of years. He was still there. So it was great to see Zach. I got a Jubal on tap. It had just gotten on tap, which was delicious. I had a Bachelor Bitter on tap, which was also quite good.
Old school Deschutes beer.
Very good. And, you know, had obviously their food is amazing there. It always has been. So I had a delicious burger. Very nice to go back to Deschutes. And it was kind of like we talked about. It might have been in the last In the Brews or two In the Brews ago. Don't forget the places you still love, but you wanted to change it up because you wanted to try new places.
Yeah.
And it reminded me, we got to go back to Deschutes more because they're still cranking out great beer. They still have good food, and it's a great place to get a beer.
It doesn't shock me that he's still there. I mean, they're employee-owned. They have benefits. They take such great care of their employees. And from what I heard, I've never worked there. I don't really know many people that have worked there.
That's what I said to him. I was like, Deschutes takes care of you. He goes, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, A lot of us that work in this industry, that work for successful breweries that don't have the reputation or the longevity that someone like Deschutes has, we are treated well by our breweries, by our employer, because you guys set the standard. Like Deschutes was like, we're going to give our people benefits. We're going to let our people be employee owned. We're going to reward you for sticking around. And that's something rad, and we all owe the people at Deschutes so much for that.
So don't forget about the original places that you liked. If there's still a place that interests you and you want to go back and you just said, oh, we've been there 100 times, let's go try somewhere new, go back to that place because it'll rekindle a love for you, as I kind of got this last Tuesday. I very much enjoyed having the Jubal Ale on tap because I've had Jubal Ale in bottles every year, but it's better on tap. And it was nice to go back there.
What a great spot.
Good spot.
I'll do it myself. My week in beer, I went up to Pullman for the weekend with the old ragtag crew to check out. It was homecoming at Washington State University, also lovingly known as Wazoo. And so Wazoo played Colorado. It was pouring rain the entire weekend, which was not very fun.
So the last two times you've gone back, you got snowed on completely and then rained on completely.
Yep. So we've seen it all. I would take the snow over the rain, actually. The rain was
Pure soaked to the bone.
It just
drenched.
Never stopped. But I was able. One thing that was cool, I ended up spending most of my weekend with the friends that I went up with. But so I didn't get to see a lot of my friends that live in town. However, two of my really good friends they bought and are reopening this bar that had been closed, that was kind of off campus, but it was the only thing and you never understood why it didn't work. Then you realize that maybe previous ownership and management wasn't very good. And these guys are like two of my five closest beer guys in town. I always bring them beer and stuff. And so it was fun to just kind of talk and BS with them a little bit about what the Pullman scene is like and what they're seeing in terms of like hard seltzer moving in, which could be a fun topic for us to speak about, you know, in a couple podcasts from now. But then I went to the Coug, which, you know, one of them is Bob Cady, who I was talking to. He's the owner of the Coug. And I walked in there and he was like, well, you got to go down, man. I was like, yeah. He was like, how's the beer list? He's like, beer list is great. We pulled your mug. You ready to go? I'll just let you see what's down there. And I got down there and I drank Fresh Hop Citrus Liquor from Bale Breaker.
Wait. We pulled your mug?
Yeah. So I have a mug. I'm part of the mug club.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And so I get like $2.50 craft beer pints.
Oh, very nice. Is it like a yearly fee or something? Or
No, it's a one-time membership fee.
That's cool.
And I got it for free because my band used to play there. And I remember a few years ago, I know this is way off topic, a few years ago, I was like, yeah, Bob, thanks so much, man. Like, you gave us these mugs for free. Like, that's really rad. And he goes, do you know how little I was paying you and how much money I made off your band playing in my place? It was easy.
I was like, well, gee, thanks, Bob.
Yeah, so I got down to the Coogan, you know, and got my mug, and they were super busy because it's homecoming weekend, so it's a lot of alumni. But I drank Bailbreaker Citrus Liquor, which we had on this show, which was still tasting phenomenal. And I didn't see it anywhere in town. Maybe it was in town and I missed it, or maybe they didn't make a lot of it, so it stayed Seattle. The Coog tends to be a very Seattle-heavy brewery.
Makes
or
sense.
Washington heavy brewery, which totally makes sense. I drank about 5 pints of fresh hop Bodhisattva.
Ooh.
Which I was quite happy with. and so that was that. And so that's fun. And it's always great in my mug. It's nostalgia. That is the place that taught me how to drink craft beer. That's where I drank Manny's Pale Ale forever. And now I go back and they almost always have Bodhi or Johnny Utah on. And again, isn't that the whole part of homecoming?
It's like the Boneyard RPM for all of our
exactly.
pubs. It's the Bodhisattva and those ones.
Yeah. It's that great, you go back to homecoming because you remember, you know, this is where I live. This is where I went to college. This is where, you know, I met my best friends in the world. And
this is where I got way too drunk.
Where we became family. This is where I learned how to talk to girls and then somehow forgot how to talk to girls. and then somehow found out how to talk to girls again. I don't know. To be able to have a Manny's Pale Ale.
Girls.
And a fresh hop Bodhisattva and things like that. It was really fun. And then I'm sitting at a table with like my best friends in the world, and we're all decked out in Coug gears, and we blew Colorado out. So go Cougs.
Perfect.
Yeah. It was a good week.
Not a repeat of the UCLA game. Very
no.
important.
The rest of the week is literally me living at Breakside.
Well, that makes sense.
I'm going to the Milwaukee location after we record this, and that'll be the third location of the day for me.
Yeah, and then yesterday you also had to come into work and then go back to work like 3 different times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I was going to go back tonight after, but I'm going to run to Milwaukee and call it a day.
Okay. Hey, I understand.
Yeah, tomorrow's my day off, and I got to go in for a couple hours. So.
It's busy. It's busy times for 1P Harris, and that's okay.
That's okay. It's mostly self-inflicted.
Go say hi to him at Slab Town and make him feel like a celebrity again, because clearly that was a nice surprise.
You should have seen what my staff said. This guy, again, I'm so sorry I can't remember your name, but he was such a nice guy, and he was so pumped to be there, and he was enjoying the beers. He shook my hand like 30 times on the way out. Just a really nice guy. And I had done something and walked away, and my bartender told me this story, and he said, wow, I can't believe I got to meet this guy Zane and Patrick Harris on the same night. And my bartender just like turns and just is like holding everything back to not die of laughing. He told me the story and I thought he was going to piss his pants because he was like, that guy? Like, nobody cares about that guy. So you made a man feel very, very special. And for that, I appreciate that greatly.
Thank you for listening, nameless man who we forgot your name.
I'm going to track this down, I promise.
And we appreciate all of you for listening. And we do see on social media, whether it's our Instagram DMs or on Twitter or on whatever, the stuff that you send us, not always necessarily responded to, but we give likes to the pictures and stuff. I look at every single thing you guys send of what you're doing. Just it's cool to kind of see. So I appreciate it, and keep sending that stuff to us. Your weekend beer, what you're drinking. Someone sent to me a Block 15 bourbon pumpkin.
Ooh.
That I went like yes. But it's only in Corvallis, so I mean I'm not going to get that. But I did today buy the Dark Matter Porter from Block 15, which I'd seen shared on social media to me, and I'm going to try it this weekend, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, one thing I will say, since we did Chaco Vesa as a beer of the week, I have had it 3 times since, including I had some last night.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I had it once. I got
and
a
maybe
22.
The night before.
I got a 22 of it at New Seasons, which I told you
see,
about.
See, I gotta find that because I have like last year's can and I think the year before can, but I have 12-ounce bottles from the years before. I want the 22.
Well, go to New Seasons.
Okay, I'll go to New Seasons.
It's right next to your work.
That is true. It's literally next door. We share the building.
Yes.
I was like, there's one not too far from my house. And you were like, or next door to that place you spend more time at than your house.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes, you can
duly
noted. Just go get the 22.
I'll write it on my hand.
That is the Patrick Harris way. But yeah, keep sending that stuff to us. It's truly enjoyable to see what you guys are drinking. And it's at least for me, and I'm sure for Patrick too, it's giving us new beers to think about of what we want to go try when we get a chance to go look for it as well. I also today purchased the Chocolate Rapture Big Bad Baptist, because I've had the regular now. I bought the regular standard Big Bad Baptist, and I'm going to try the Chocolate Rapture this weekend as well. So I went to John's for our beer of the weekend. I was like, you know what? I'm flying solo this weekend. Let me get like 5 more beers for the weekend for myself. And I've got a little mini box right now in the car. Anyway, so our topic of the day is a very quick but important in the brews. And that is another, we're going to call it, second tier OG, the second guys in brewery, is closing.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, the writing was on the wall a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but still surprising to see the full closure of the place. Lompoc Brewing is going bye-bye. They had closed two locations, right? They had closed mm-hmm. the 23rd spot, and they closed one of, what was it, like in Hawthorne or something?
It was
or,
on Division, the Hedge House, where Little Beast is now.
Okay. They had closed those two, and they had one place open, and like they had a small secondary place that also had Lompoc beer.
Yeah, they had Oaks Bottom, which is the mass production facility, and then the Fifth Quadrant on Williams, which is probably the place probably the second place I've been the most of the Lompocs, because I used to go to that 23rd one all the time, especially when Slabtown first opened. I'd be there all the time.
Yeah.
Just because it was like a place to drink craft beer and get away.
It was a block away.
It was a block away, yeah.
So now the Williams location is closing.
Mm-hmm.
They're keeping the pub, or the mass production facility is staying open as a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
but they're not going to have Lompoc beer on tap anymore. Lompoc, once they run out, they're done.
Yep, and they're going to be under a different name. But it's they're gonna and the article I read on Oregon Live, who kind of broke this story today. Actually, I got a side note on break that story. Sounds like they're gonna try to absolve as many employees as they can. So if you work at the bike bar, that's Hopworks. If you work at the Fifth Quadrant on Williams and you want a job and you want to stick with Lompoc, you know, there you go. You got a spot down there.
Yeah.
It's a crazy thing for me. And, you know, I've talked with some people today about it. It's like, oh, Lompoc closes in. You know, and some people are kind of like, well, you know, hey, writing's on the wall, duh, saw that coming, blah, blah, blah.
You've talked about it on this podcast. Lompoc has like a special place in your heart.
Yeah, it's always been a really cool spot, a really cool place in my opinion. You know, friend of the show, Dave Fleming, he spent some time at Lompoc. A good buddy of mine, Tyler, who's a Cerveza bartender, he spent some time at Lompoc. I remember when C-Note came out, that was a huge beer. For me and my friends, it was like an Imperial Pale Ale. So it was just like a double IPA, basically, that we convinced ourselves wasn't a double IPA,
right.
Just so we could drink a whole 22 of it. And I just remember good times. And I think it's just one of those, I think this is the beginning. You know, we've talked about this. It's going to keep happening. And you mentioned the beginning of the show to go to the places you haven't been to in a long time. And this could be part of it. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, you're going to draw a lot of similarities from this to Bridgeport in the sense where I don't know how much their beer was evolving. And part of that I kind of liked, because sometimes I like drinking an IPA that reminds me of 2008, you know, but the mass public doesn't want that.
Right. And we've talked about this before of you got to find the fine line between doing both. I mean, we can use Deschutes as an example because of the place I just went. Deschutes has... I think Deschutes was falling victim to probably something similar, because if you went at the beer world was changing and they were sticking by their guns so hardcore, they still had the same beers on. They still had the Mirror Pond, and they still had the Vortex IPA, and they had the Inversion IPA. They had all of those ones still on no matter what. Right. Mm-hmm. When I went this Tuesday, Mirror Pond, no longer on the Pub Classics, on a separate section of extra beer.
Interesting.
Inversion IPA is gone. They have one called Slightly Exaggerated IPA, which is probably the similar formula, but they've changed it to be more modern.
Mm-hmm.
They created Pacific Wonderland Lager, which slid in place of... I'm going to forget the name of it. There was Mirror Pond and another one that was based off of a body of water. That was another like a pale ale
Green
or a
Lakes?
Lager. Maybe. I can't remember the name.
Green Lake, the organic? I don't remember.
They created Pacific Wonderland Lager. Obviously, Blackbeard Porter's still there. Obsidian Stout's still
was
there.
Was Deschutes on there?
Yes,
the
it was.
The Pilsner?
That's also slid into a classic.
Mm.
So they've kept some of the OG beers around. Obviously, when you go to the pub, you still see they've got their unique pub-only beers as well.
Yeah.
But they've changed. They've adjusted to the market. They only have one or two hazies on. That's not really their thing, but they've got a hazy... and they've changed. They threw Crispies in there, right? They threw some Crispy beers in there because if you went 2 years ago, you would be getting the same beers that you would have had 15 years ago at Deschutes,
right?
Maybe slight changes here and there, but in the classic section I'm talking about, that's what it would have been. They saw the writing on the wall. They made the right decision, I think, and they are trying to appeal to both sides now: the people who have been going to Deschutes forever, and the people who are new to town or big into craft beer and want unique new things all the time. They're hitting both angles.
Yeah.
Lompoc, for example, you went way more than I did. that's not a place that I ever saw have super unique things, right? It was like you went and you knew what you were getting.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Bridgeport especially was guilty of this.
Definitely that.
I mean, Bridgeport, you went and it was the same six beers over and over and over again, and they didn't have a lot of unique beers on generally at all. So they kind of fell victim to saying, we're staying staunch on these beers. This is what got us here. We're not changing. Whereas I think you got to find that perfect little middle ground where you still stick to that, because obviously people are going to be pissed that you take some of those beers away, mm-hmm. but you also add new stuff.
Yeah, and I think one thing that you know is going to be a little tough for Lompoc to run into is, you know, what's their core brand? You know, their core brand beer was Proletariat Red.
Yep.
And I think Red is a tough sell in this town to be your flagship. There are Red drinkers everywhere. But I think a predominant amount of red and amber drinkers don't buy a lot of beer in the stores. They might not drink a lot of beer at home. And if they do, they might drink a lot of Coors Light at home. You know, but it's like, oh, if you go to a brewery, you know, hey, do you have an amber or a red? Yeah, you have that. But in terms of the mass market of selling stuff, I don't know if that works, you know, and that makes it tough. Not to mention if your IPAs taste, you know, 15 years old, that's a tough one as well. And yeah, the writing's on the wall and it's there. I mean,
that was one that I don't want to say they necessarily spread too thin, but you had 3 to 4 locations open in the city.
Yeah.
I mean, how much of that is, you know, the costs become too much? You're paying rent in different places. You're paying multiple, way more employees.
Right. I mean,
does that come back to bite you versus staying maybe in one or maybe two? It was a big enough brewery. You can have multiple locations, but maybe shrinking it down to two, but I mean, they tried that, right?
Yeah.
And they're still closing.
Yeah. I mean, it's so crazy to think. I mean, I guess it's not really crazy to think. I'm just trying to find the silver lining, the positive of this. But I think the brand awareness and the reason and drive to get people into your pub has to be number one. And once you lose that, I think that's when you get in trouble.
Now, I'm curious, I'm going to throw this out there and not, you know, don't take this as negative or anything. It's just a thought. You said the Red was their flagship beer.
Mm-hmm.
What other famous classic brewery has a Red as their flagship beer?
Oh, my friend, that would be the Free Range Red from Laurelwood.
Yes. That is my question next is, are they in a similar situation?
Workhorse was there as well.
True. But, I mean, Free Range Red is their... I see that everywhere for Laurelwood, right? I mean, if you go to like Moda Center or the Timbers game, it's Free Range Red.
Uh-huh.
Are they going to have a similar issue that Lompoc had?
Oh, Michael, you don't know, do you?
No.
Oh, Ninkasi bought Laurelwood.
Oh. Oh, did we talk about this in the podcast?
I don't remember if we did.
I don't
but
know
it
if
sounds
we did.
Like we didn't.
I don't think so.
It sounds like we didn't. Laurelwood is going to keep the pub on Sandy, but Ninkasi has all of their production beers.
Oh.
And the Westmoreland pub closed.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Actually, I did know that, but I forgot. And we did not talk about it on the podcast.
I do not think we talked about it on the podcast.
So that's interesting. So they're still making Laurelwood beers, but Ninkasi's making Laurelwood beers.
Correct.
Interesting.
And making the profits.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So that's another one, though. That's another example of the flagship beer.
Tier 2 is taking a hit.
But the flagship beer was a style that no longer is necessarily in demand.
Mm-mm.
And it's when that's the case, that's going to be an issue.
It makes me wonder about, you know, now New Belgium's huge. They're not, I'd be surprised if they go anywhere.
You're talking Fat Tire.
But I'm talking Fat Tire. It makes me wonder, you know, how sustainable is that? Mac and Jack's is a huge brewery in the state of Washington, but they don't package. You know, you can't really buy that African Amber Red.
Nope.
Or that African Amber. And if that's your number one, because I've had 2-ton IPA and I've had Serengeti Wheat and they ain't awesome. Maybe that is a thing. Maybe that's a really good point that your flagship, you know, you see what's Freem's flagship? Pilsner and IPA.
Yep.
What's Boneyard?
RPM. IPA.
What's Barley Brown? Pallet Jack. Breakside, IPA Wanderlust. Like, you've got these places. And I had this conversation with a brewer who lives and works in Vancouver. And I disagreed with this. And I actually kind of lost a little bit of respect for this person because that's why I'm not naming names right now, that I think it's so, so important to have some form of identity when trying to sell your beer, that somebody has to know that it says, oh, whoa, what's this Freem export lager? I love their Pilsner, but I guess I'll try this. But if you're a brewery that just continues to pop out one-offs, how does anybody know? you know, and I think that's the hazy culture that created that. And so I am curious to see that if there is some correlation to this with what your flagship style of beers are that you're putting out on the market.
Now, the only thing that I, again, it's because it's top of mind, but Blackbeard Porter is the flagship of Deschutes.
But so is Mirapond.
True. And it sounds like they might be trying to slide that Deschutes Pilsner in
sure.
as a flagship.
Sure. They tried it with Pacific Wonderland and then now the Deschutes.
Yeah.
Like that could be the new ride because they've got it. You have to have more than a porter.
And I'm telling you, Mirapond was not on the Pub Classic list. So but they might be sliding that out.
Right. And that Blackbeard Porter will always reign in my head as the gold standard of Oregon dark beer is Blackbeard
Porter.
And
I also think the difference from that and a red is that, I mean, knowing this personally, as because I am one of them, a dark beer drinker will no matter what choose a dark beer if they're going for that kind
of
thing.
If they want beer.
Yeah. Maybe not no matter what, but that will be option 1A in their head. Whereas you're saying red drinkers, there's probably not a lot of craft beer drinkers whose favorite style is red.
Right. That bounce around from styles.
Right.
Now, there are like ambery lagers that people can dig on, you know, like I sell or like some German ales, like... You know, we make an alt beer frequently, and when somebody wants an amber or a red, that's the first beer we sell them. And if you're a diehard amber drinker, that's not going to be the beer for you. But the amber drinker isn't that heavily diehard, and so that beer suffices.
The amber drinker drinks craft beer when that's their choice. Like, that's what they're thrown into.
If
right?
I'm a diehard RPM drinker... Mirapond won't cut it for me.
Right.
It's too malty.
Right.
Which I think is fine for what Mirapond is. But if you are so pigeonholed in that one style and you don't drink other things, like it's tough to sell you on stuff. And I think using Deschutes as this example, I think it's something very, you know, methodical and something that they are keeping their nose to the streets and watching all this other stuff because tier two is crumbling right now. That second level, you get past the OGs, and even the OGs have taken some hits.
Bridgeport, Widmer.
And now Tier 2 is starting to with Laurelwood and Lompoc, you know, and Ninkasi's kind of taken themselves out a little bit of the local game. They're now trying to go mass, so that second tier is taking a hit. And if you see that second tier take a hit, and you're in the first tier, and you've already seen a couple of your buddies go down, you're starting to think, okay, how do I stay afloat? And I think Deschutes, to your example, is doing the best they can. Hey, this Pilsner, 19.2-ounce can. Crush it on the river, brah. And we stay alive.
Right. Hey, 45-year-old who's been drinking Deschutes his whole life. Blackbeard Porter still on tap and still in bottles.
Still in bottles. Yeah. And it's not going anywhere.
You're hitting both sides. Is there any other flagship reds out there that we're not thinking of? Because it's not a very common flagship to have. Is there any other brewery that we should be saying, hey, if you're listening,
well,
watch out.
I mean, Double Mountain's big on that IRA. But I don't think Double Mountain's going anywhere.
No.
They've put all their money into the IPAs lately, whether it's Hop Lion or, you know, their seasonals with Cluster and Gypsy and Jane and those kind of stuff. And they've always had their barrel program.
IRA feels a little different than a red.
Because it's hoppy.
Yes.
Because it touches on other people.
Yes.
I don't drink reds. I'd slam an IRA right now.
Yes. Beyond that, I can't really think of any. Off the top of my head. I mean, the New Belgium was a great example, but I think that's way too big at this point.
An airport beer at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't stop that.
No. I mean, that's nationally an airport beer.
Yeah.
I'll noodle on that. Maybe we'll see if we can come up with one. But we talked about this and you said you're going to see some changes in 2019 and 2020. And here's one of them.
And here we go. And it's just, and I think, you know, like I was saying earlier with a lot of conversation I've had with some people today where it's kind of like, yeah, you saw it coming, blah, blah, blah. You saw it coming. I know. But if you listen to this podcast, if you've heard us ever talk about beer, we can be critical at times, but we try to be positive because we love it. So even if, you know, brewery A closes down because they were bad at this or bad at that or couldn't achieve this or didn't evolve, whatever the reasons are, you still don't want to see it. You know, competition forces all of us to be better at our jobs. Whether there's another beer podcast out there or beer blogs out there, keep doing them. Keep making them. Because when Mike and I read your articles and we listen to your podcasts, it just makes us want to be better.
Right.
And I think when a place like Lompoc closes, it's just another reminder that we're all not invincible.
Yep.
And there's a lot of people that are going to lose jobs. And that sucks. In a business that, like, I pay my rent on. Like, if people stop drinking beer and people start drinking hard seltzer all day, every day, uh-oh. Like, mama, clear the basement out. Like, baby's coming home, you know? So I think it's just one of those days. And especially when it's, you know, a place that you grew up with and, you know, you love. And, you know, there's like some cereal out there that I would never buy again. But when I was a kid, ooh, great example, SpaghettiOs. SpaghettiOs are a terrible thing. And we should not be eating SpaghettiOs in our 30s. But if SpaghettiOs went out of business, Chef Boyardee goes out of business, you're like, oh, man, that's kind of sad.
I like those raviolis. Yeah,
that crap food. I eat that all the time as a kid.
Me too.
Yeah. I think it just kind of looks like that to me.
All right, let's take a quick break. Coming up next, we have our beer of the week. It is one that is in a beautiful can. Really nice can.
Beautiful can.
And is a brewery that we have not done a ton of on this podcast.
Which
except
is
for,
funny because they're one of the top five most popular breweries in the state of Oregon.
And they're also in that second tier as well that we're talking about.
Are they?
In terms of like one of the OGs.
One of the olders?
Yeah.
I guess you're right, yeah.
I would consider them, maybe not second, maybe third tier if you want to say that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when we're saying tiers, we don't mean in terms of quality. We're just saying when they came into business. It's obviously, we did their most popular beer twice on this podcast.
Oh, okay.
This one is a style that I'm not sure if I've ever had, and I saw it on the shelf today and went, beer of the week, that's what we're doing. That's next. Beers and Us, Mike Lynch, Patrick Harris. Beer of the week time here on Beers and Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. The beer that we are going to try today is one that I'm not sure either of us have ever had before in terms of a style. And it is a beer from Fort George Brewing.
Fort George.
It is, I said tier two, tier three.
Astoria.
And their most famous beer is, of course, the three-way IPA, which we've done twice now on the podcast, including the experiment on why the three-way IPA last time was different in different levels of the can, which is very interesting.
Is that their most famous beer?
I was assuming. I was guessing.
Rhetorical. I don't know. I'm asking.
I was guessing. It's their most pubbed beer, right?
It could be Vortex, but it's definitely the most popular.
It's the most sought after Fort George beer.
Sure. We're drinking out of these nice Stiegel glasses from our good friend Shane over at Point Blank.
Yeah, when I saw this style of beer, I went, this is maybe the glass I would use out of the ones he gave us?
Sure.
So the beer that we are drinking today is called Cathedral Tree. It is a barrel-fermented pilsner. And I don't think I've ever had a barrel fermented pilsner before.
I think I've seen one, but was like, that don't make sense. I'm out.
Well, it might not make sense, but guess what? It's in the glass in front of you and you're going to try it. The can on this is spectacular. Look,
Fort George's artwork is actually beautiful.
Fort George's artwork generally is amazing on their cans. But this, for all you metal fans out there, this is a Mastodon song in a beer can artwork. This looks like Crack the Sky, the album Crack the Sky. For those of you who listen to Mastodon out there, Mike Hunziker, if you're listening, you know that album. I don't really know what to expect. I mean, barrel fermented. I mean, you're going to get a little stankiness in there, right? Maybe a little like, since it's a light beer, maybe you're going to get some kind of like grapey, fruity notes to it. But
it's 4.8%. I'm just going to read this verbatim off their website. Cathedral Tree is a beer that pays reverence to the timeless lager style pilsners, fermented entirely in 500-liter oak puncheons to incorporate old world methodology and provide a mellow tannic structure that lends a full mouthfeel and support for classic German noble and modern hops. Finishes crisp, clean, and refreshing as any pilsner should. Look for the Cathedral 16-ounce cans. And just like the actual Cathedral Tree, this one is staying firmly planted at the coast.
So apparently, you're going to like this beer. Apparently, when I went to John, he goes, oh, you're going to try it. I was like, what am I trying? Because I had six beers. And he was like, it's this one, Cathedral. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. He goes, they never can it. It's only ever been at the brewery. And I was like, cool, well, great. That makes it even more unique for the podcast. First sip, not at all what I was expecting. Based on what you were reading, the description, it makes a lot more sense. I was expecting, when you get these barrel-aged light beers, there tends to be a lot of like Pinot Gris, like grape, kind of winey flavor that goes into it. And it's almost like sours a little bit.
Right. These must be neutral oak barrels.
They must be, because this is honestly just maybe I wouldn't have said this before you read that, but it tastes like a really, really classic pilsner. Like there's a flavor, like there's almost like a, I almost, obviously get the barrel in it. Mm-hmm. Like it's a good Pilsner. It's a solid Pilsner. But then at the end, I'm sitting there and I haven't taken a second sip and I'm like, I taste the oak barrel in the back of my palate. That's kind of interesting because I feel like sometimes the beer you'll get the effects of it, but it might dominate that flavor because the beer is so flavorful.
The body on this is so full.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of the barrel talking. I get some of the noble hops, and this is probably the West Coast kid in me that just wants a little more hop character to it, but I love where this body is. I mean, this body is too big for a normal Pilsner, in my opinion.
Well, that's why it's not a normal Pilsner.
Yeah, but that's I think, what it's going for. I like this beer. I would continue to drink this beer. I can't tell you how many times I would have a barrel-fermented beer repeatedly, but it's only 4.8%.
Yeah.
Well, so I think this beer is pretty cool.
Well, that's why when I tasted it, I went, I think Patrick's going to like this because he's been liking Pilsners a lot lately. Mm-hmm. And this gives a lot of that Pilsner body, but it's different.
Right. It's really different. It's unlike anything I've really had. And kind of you kind of stepped on it there for a second that I don't drink a lot of this style, but I have a little bit more lately. So it's been a lot more fun to kind of see all the different realms of Pilsner you can go to. I have no idea if this beer is flawed or not. Like, I have no idea.
Because we don't see barrel-aged Pilsners often.
Yeah, I'm just not familiar with the style, but what I can tell you is that I like where the body is. It doesn't taste disgusting. Woo-hoo! And it finishes just fine.
I
want a little more hop character. It's a little stanky, a little skunky in the sense of like how a lot of, you know, kind of Eastern European stuff can be, but slightly. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
Isn't that kind of what they're going for then?
I
if they're going
so.
Old world
old
kind
world,
of beer.
Yeah.
I gotta say, the body on this is fantastic. It is so rich and dense. Like you smell it and you go, oh, okay, it smells like a Pilsner. And you get right into the sip and it's like it almost feels like a wave in the ocean is hitting you. It's so strong. I know that maybe that sounds stupid, but it's the way it feels because like you'll drink a beer. And it, you know, you're drinking a liquid, right? And
right.
You know what it feels like, and you know what's happening. This doesn't feel the same when it hits your palate. It feels foamy. It feels really rich. Mm-hmm. And for this type of a beer, you don't normally get that. And I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. Well done.
Does that make sense to you?
No, it makes total sense. I'm going to be...
I feel like saying wave in your mouth makes no sense. But...
No, beer is a form of art. You can use art to describe beer.
Hell yeah.
Me and the lady will be at, we'll be in Astoria, not this weekend, next weekend. And we will most likely go to Fort George. So I'll report back.
Okay, cool.
Do you know the news from them? They just bought an old canning facility on the waterfront and they're going to renovate it and turn it into a mass production canning facility.
Oh.
And expand.
I wish they were moving the restaurant there because I like being on the water, but I understand they're in the classic Fort George building, which is what they're named after, so I understand.
And I'm all about that level tap room. What up? The little one on the side?
Oh, yeah, the secondary
mm-hmm.
one?
Mm-hmm.
And you can still see the water from
that's
their original
place. That's
where
you get all place. The weird, crazy good.
and if you go up to their secondary restaurant on the top, which has the pizza.
The pizza joint.
Also think is interesting that you have two different restaurants in the same place.
I know, right?
You can see the water. I love Bowie and how close it is to the water, so... If they make seats in their new place, it'd be pretty cool, too.
I'm sure they will. That'd be silly not to. Just have a little tap room, maybe not food. But
you
put
said
a food...
mass production, so.
Well, yeah, but put a little food cart outside or something. Why not?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, there's our beer of the week. It is the Fort George Cathedral Tree Barrel Fermented Pilsner. Very interesting Pilsner. If you're a fan of Pilsners, give it a try because, well, it's super interesting. If you're not a fan of Pilsners, give it a try because maybe it'll change your mind on Pilsners. I don't know.
This beer on the bottom says it was packaged October 7th, 2019. And then there's a little line here that says, where squirrels worship.
Where squirrels worship.
Yeah, cathedral tree.
All right. I mean, does October matter to you at this point? I mean, we're in October, so 3 weeks.
Oh, no. Okay. The date's fine. I was more laughing at where squirrels worship at
cathedral,
the cathedral tree.
Cathedral tree.
They must drop a lot of nuts. Bam.
Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Whoa.
I didn't know where else to drop it. That kind of felt appropriate there. All right, so that's our beer of the week. Coming up next week, we have not yet planned anything. We are hoping to continue our distribution series, but it's been a little bit of an adventure getting times to mix and match between the two of us as well as the potential guests. We haven't really done a style truly in a while, I guess the Fresh Hop episodes kind of count as that, but we didn't really introduce the style. We also haven't gone on location in a while, so we got to try to figure that out.
We haven't
done
that in a while.
So we should try to figure out another place to do a takeover. Maybe we could do the Oregon City one, which we've been teasing for half a year and still haven't done.
What up? We still like you.
We still like to do that. That sounds like a blast. But anyway, so something will be coming up next week, we promise. Apologies for this being a day late, but again, schedules are what they are. And we will see you next week. Don't forget to find us, Instagram.com/beersonus. And wherever you find us, sub, rate, review, and download. Thank you.
Traces.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.